started. Dear God, we thank you so much for this morning. I thank you for this group of people, Lord, that you have brought here together with us. Lord, I pray that you just please bless us as we're working through this book. And I pray that you would just help us as we continue to grow to know more about who you are. Lord, I pray that the knowledge in which we have today might be more than just factual knowledge in our heads, Lord, but it might bring about a greater faith in you, a transformed life by the power of your word, that we might leave this place focusing upon you and being transformed by your glory, by the power of your Holy Spirit working through us. And Lord, I pray that in all these things, that we might just use what you have given us unto your glory and unto your name, Lord. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so who can tell me what we talked about in the first chapter of this book? Chapter 1. Does anyone remember? We spent like 4 weeks
in it. Overview.
Okay, overview of?
The books of the Bible.
Okay, overview of the books of the Bible. Yeah, so we discussed kind of just Old Testament, New Testament survey. We also talked about inspiration, and there's another word that we used. Inspiration and revelation. Remember those things. So remember that all scripture is inspired by God, that the word of God reveals who God is and what God's will is for us in this world. And in chapter 2, what did we talk about? Hermeneutics. What is hermeneutics and where does he live?
The process of studying the Bible.
Okay. And what were kind of some of the steps that we learned in hermeneutics? Prepare your heart. Okay.
What?
Observation. Okay. Interpretation. What did you say?
Application.
Okay. Meditation. Yes. All really good key steps. If you remember, Daniel used kind of a picture, and it showed the kind of like the where you would start at in the context of scripture. Inside, it was like walking around in the old city, and then you cross the principalizing bridge, and you come into modern times. So you observe in the context of what's going on. You have observation in the context, and then you ask, okay, what is the principle? Was the principal bridge here? Was a principalizing idea that links from there to now? What is the main truths that we see inside this, and how does it apply now? And meditating on that scripture and really reflecting upon it. So that was the first two chapters we talked about. And today we are going to begin to talk about the attributes of God. So not only have we talked about a survey of the Bible and what the Bible talks about, how to interpret the Bible, but now we're going to discuss who is God. And the importance of who is God. Can anyone tell me why it might be important to understand the attributes of God?
So getting to know God more closely.
Know God more closely, yes. It's very important that your understanding of God will directly affect the way in which you live your life and the way in which you walk with Christ. So it's really important that when in your guys' observation of God's word, that you really pay attention to his attributes, to his character, to who he is. Is anyone else really hot in here?
Yes.
Okay, you can dial down, Scott, if you want a little bit. So I see people fanning themselves and everything, and it's only going to get hotter with the more bodies that come in. Okay. So I want us to go to a story. Whoops, let me turn this on. So the story of Job. Job, if you remember in the Old Testament, we did a brief survey of him, but Job was a man in the Old Testament who had basically everything, had a family, a lot of money, and everything stripped away from him. And throughout this book, when he is stricken by grief, when his family dies, when his livelihood goes away, when everything is plagued and destroyed, even his body is filled with plagues, he calls out to God and he seeks to understand from God, why did you do this? Why is this happening to me? And he says this in Job 6:24. He says, "Teach me and I will be silent. Make me understand how I have gone astray. After Job seeks counsel from his friends, we see God appears to him, and God in Job 38 says this. He says, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding." It's amazing that after 37 chapters of everything that you've been reading that's been going on with Job, with the dialogue that's been happening between him and his friends, that in chapter 38, you hear God, you see God come onto the scene and him asking questions. And one of the first questions he asks is, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth?" God immediately is appealing to an attribute that is his, which is his supremacy, his eternality, his sovereignty in this. And even though God throughout the book of Job does not provide Job an answer with the reason why he did it, he tells Job who he is, who he is. And it's interesting that in these things we find comfort amongst the trials that we go through, that no matter what we're going through, we might not even understand the reason why. But because we know who God is, because we know of who he is and his character, it directly affects the way in which we live. What attribute does God have inside these passages when appealing to the beginning? Well, we see that he talks about, yeah, his eternality, Bert. That was a really good point in that. And how should Job then be comforted by these things? How would you be comforted by these things if God appealed to them?
Knowing that God is in complete control.
Knowing that God is in complete control. So I hope that from today's study, and we're going to go through 2 weeks of studying the attributes of God, that you guys really understand that these attributes aren't just something for you to read off the screen here and walk away with head knowledge. We really want them to penetrate to your heart. So we're going to talk a little bit more before jumping into each attribute about the things surrounding the attributes of God. And first, it's important to know, what does the Bible say about God? Okay, what does the Bible say about God? Well, first, the Bible outlines that God always has been and always will be. It's important to understand this inside the Word of God. In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God always has been and always will be. The Bible also outlines that God is self-existent. Unlike Mormons, unlike these other people that suggest that, well, God was created and there's one of a bazillion million gods and all these things. It's like, no, God is self-existent. God was not created. He always has been. He always will be. And this is crucial to understanding the Word of God and understanding his character, and that it never changes. We see in Isaiah 43:13, it says, "Even from eternity I am he. There is none who can deliver out of my hand. I act, and who can reverse it?" God alone is sovereign and eternal. He is the only one that can carry out his order. He is the only one who ever has been. And he says, "Before me there was no God formed, and there will be none after me." God is the only God. So these are key principles that you need to take when studying God and who he is and understanding what the Word outlines about God, that he is the only God, that he is the one who is self-existent, that he is the one who always has been, always will be, who is sovereign, who is ruling over all things. He is the God that we are talking about when we're jumping through the attributes of God. Unlike Hinduism, unlike Mormonism, unlike all these other polytheistic religions where you're like, okay, there's all these different gods, thousands of them. The Bible teaches there is one God. The Lord our God is one. Yeah, David.
Do the Mormons read the Bible, or do they have their own? Because how can you say there are many gods and you can become a god with that scripture right there?
Yeah. Well, there's Bible? Yeah. So that's probably a topic for another day, but I'd love to talk to you after class. But what essentially happens is they create polytheism, and not from the Word of God, but from their own beliefs and things. So, yep. All right. So it's important to also understand inside the Word of God that it talks about this idea of the Trinity. And so the reason why I say the idea of the Trinity, the truth of the Trinity that we see in the Scripture, is because you won't ever see the word Trinity used inside Scripture, but it's something in which we see foundational to who God is. So when we're talking about the attributes of God, it's really important to first see that God is one being in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So there is one being, God, who is distinct in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is important to know that since the beginning, God has referred to himself as us. We see this in Genesis 1:26. He says, "Let us create man in our image." And so in the image of God, he created them male and female. So you see this, that God, ever since the beginning, referred to himself as us. So we see the idea of the Trinity since the very first chapter of Genesis. We see that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have different roles in the Godhead, but each person is fully and equally God. And so there is not one person that is more God than the other. It's not that one is shifting. He's not shifting from being the Son to the Father to Holy Spirit. They are all equally God. They are all, they all are fully and equally God. And that they do have different roles that you see. We see that, the Father sent the Son. We see the Holy Spirit now indwells us. We see these different roles and these different things that the persons of the Trinity perform in Scripture. And John, these are just some scriptures. If you're ever wondering, where does it talk about that, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all God? We see this like in John 17:3. Obviously, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word is with God. We see the Holy Spirit ever since the beginning of creation, the Spirit hovering over the waters. Also, if you're in our Acts study, you see cool things where it's like, you lied against the Holy Spirit, and then basically you have lied against God when the apostles are talking to them. So we see the Holy Spirit also referred to as God. All these principles are key to take in mind when you're studying the attributes of God and when you're coming to know him more. So with God being in Scripture, Scripture teaches that you can know God. Though God is over all things, you can know him. And that knowing God equals eternal life. Does someone want to read that passage? It's John 17:3. Could someone read that for us? Once you have it, just go ahead and start reading.
This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent.
Okay. You may know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And I also want you guys to open up your books, by the way, to chapter 3, because we're going to start going through some of your answers as well. So it's important to know that knowing God equals eternal life. And in Jeremiah 9:24, what is our boast to be in? That he understands and knows me, being God. If you look there on the beginning of your chapter, it's going to be in section 2b right there. It says, rather than boasting in wisdom or might or riches, what is the one thing that God says man is to boast about? It's that he understands and knows me. Now, some people might be like, what are we supposed to boast about knowing the Lord? It's like, this is who my God is. Let me tell you how great he is. You're essentially bragging on God. You're boasting on who he is and his greatness. And so it's important to know that we can know God. That God though he is one who is incomprehensible, you can't know everything about him. You can know who he is and his character. So just because you can't comprehend God fully does not mean that you can't know him. I mean, most of you would say that you know me, but you don't know everything about me. Trust me. And even my wife doesn't know everything about me. And even me, I don't know everything about me. But we can know who a person is based off of their character. And so in this, we can know who God is as Scripture has revealed to us. That which he has given to us to know about him in his word, we can come to understand if he has revealed it. It is also important to know that God can only be divinely perceived and understood. And this is through the Holy Spirit. We see that the things that are spiritual are understood by God, that God is the one who reveals them. That is through Christ, through which we have the revelation of God. You see the Pharisees, you see those who are blinded in the minds of unbelievers, that they don't know God because it hasn't been revealed to them. They haven't been given divine intervention to help them understand the things of God, and they're blinded in their darkness. It's important to know these things because you cannot, in your own will and in your own power, work yourself up to knowing God in deeper ways apart from the power of God working in you. You might have factual knowledge about him, but true faith and true knowledge about who he is and deeply knowing him goes beyond just factual knowledge. So how can one know God? Well, to know Jesus is to know God. And this is because Christ is God. What does Paul say about Christ in Colossians 2:9? If you guys want to look at your answers, this is going to be in section 3. Section 3b. What did you guys write down? What does Paul say about Christ in Colossians 2:9? The fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. The fullness of God dwells in Christ. Isn't that amazing? I mean, that it's God himself came in the flesh. The fullness, for in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. How is Christ described in Hebrews 1:3? What did you guys write down there for letter C? How is Christ described in Hebrews 1:3? He says, is the radiance of his glory in the exact representation of his nature and upholds all things by the word of his power. To finish that,